Good morning, everyone. Hey, as you guys are making your way back to your seats, where is Ashley Lair? Come on. You knew this was happening. Come on. Come on up here. You don't have to say anything. Hey, this is Ashley Lair, and we are here to announce. Yeah, give it up. We're here to announce the Dream Run 5K Run and Walk. It's going to happen August 8th, right? Yeah. 2015. And it's in support of the Dream Center. And the genesis of it was this. Like, for the last two or three years, there's just been talk about doing a 5K for the Dream Center, right? Like, Pastor Jesse behind closed doors, like, hey, we need to do something. Let's do something. And nobody ever puts actions to these words. So Ashley comes to us and says, hey, I have to do a project for a school. And all you guys are doing is talking about it. So I'm going to do it. All right, so she is organizing this inaugural 5K, and she's going to be out there at the table. You guys might have saw her when you came in. She's going to be out there ready for you to sign up to actually participate, and you can ask her info to help promote this and to help actually run the event, correct? Right, we're very excited about this. This is very exciting, right? All right, thank you very much for coming up here. Have a seat. It's always cool to see our youth take charge, right? Hey, if you got a Bible or your Bible app, can you open up to Acts chapter 6, verse 2? And I'm sorry it's not on the JC app this morning. I apologize for that. But if you have your Bible or your Bible app, open it up to there. My name is Jake, in case you don't know that. Jesse and Missy, our lead pastors, are taking a break this week. They were out last week during the week. They're going to be out this week. Just taking a breather. And, you know, we're about midway through the year. And we are walking into our seventh year as Journey, right? So we're very excited about that. And it's going to be our biggest year ever. And they just wanted to let you guys know that they love you. They miss you guys. But we encourage them to take a breath every now and then, correct? We all need that. And they'll be back next Sunday. And it's okay for them to be gone because we have a great team that makes this place go, right? That we're confident and everybody kind of doing their part and playing their role. And we're going to kind of talk about that today. And we're in this Real Talk series. I think it's part 6. And it's been going great. I'm honored to be able to be up here this weekend and share a few thoughts. And be in the Real Talk series, Jesse assured me that I've already been absolved of anything I might say up here. Okay? All right? Just so you know, it's called Real Talk series. So we can say whatever you want. It's in the Geneva Convention. All right? So, yeah, you can't get offended. Okay? Real talk. Yeah, we will respect. All right, Acts chapter 6, verse 2 says this. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this time. God, just thank you for this place that you've allowed us to have to come and worship you and just come and be together as a family and to hear your word. God, I pray that these thoughts, these words I share would be your thoughts, your words, and not mine. And just that you would be glorified today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, is it okay if I share a story real quick about my wife and I and our journey to Journey? Like, we all have a journey to Journey story, right? And we all like to share those. And I don't think I've ever actually been able to share that before. And, like, why we started coming to Journey and how that happened. But, you know, I grew up in one church from, like, age 3 till 6 years ago. Okay, and you know, things were very unsettled there from about the time I graduated high school until, you know, I kind of got, you know, was getting into adulthood. You know, people got in the way, man, of what God wanted to do. And, you know, as organizations tend to do, when people get in the way of a goal, of a higher goal, you know, people start getting offended, mad, wanting to do their own things, causing problems. And that's kind of how it went, unfortunately. And you know, Nancy and I got married when, you know, I was like 23 or so, and we came back here, and we settled back here. This is where I'm from. She's an Army brat, so she wasn't familiar with this area or the people of the church I grew up in, but I was like, we're going to go to this church. You know, this is my family's church, where I grew up, because I don't like to church hop. I didn't want to church hop, you know, and I didn't want to go anywhere unless we were led by God to go there, you know, because that's just not what I want to do. I was not comfortable doing that. And we had just moved up here. I grew up in O'Fallon. We just decided to buy a house in Hawk Point. And why, I don't know, but we love it now. Never thought I'd live up in Hawk Point, but I love it up there. But so we moved up there, and we were still going to church down there. And, you know, we'd drive through Troy to get to O'Fallon every Sunday and, you know, come do our shopping. And then all of a sudden, this, you know, like 3-4 months after we moved here, there's this big billboard that says Journey Church this way, right there at, what is that, 47 and Ellis, right there by Bonfils, directing you towards Bonfils. And there's that big sign there. It was cool, and it was hip, and it stood out. And Nancy's like, as she was every church we passed by, what about that church? Yeah, okay, maybe. Maybe that church might work. I mean, that's a cool sign. We'll check it out. And that's what I was always say. Yeah, maybe. We'll check it out. But, you know, I just wasn't about to do it unless we were led to go there, you know. I was kind of making that decision that way to lead this family was, we're not just going to jump around, you know. We're going to go when we're led to go. So, Father's Day 2009, I was sitting in the back row of our church during worship, and I wasn't playing the drums that week, and nobody was playing the drums that week because I didn't make practice on Thursday, so if you don't make practice, you don't get to play, you know, those kind of things. And, you know, just kind of, again, things were unsettled. So, you know, selfishly, I was just feeling like, you know, whatever, I don't need to be up there, you don't need me. And, you know, I was just kind of becoming dry and stagnant. You know, Nancy and I had kind of stepped away from working in the youth group, and, you know, kind of our involvement in the worship team was kind of dwindling down, and we just started to kind of pull away from being involved just because there was just that unsettledness. But spiritually and personally, like, we were dry. And so I stood back there during worship, and I said this real kind of almost selfish prayer, really, like, it didn't even feel, like, deep and spiritual to me, but I said, God, you have to bring somebody or something into our life, or we are going to dry up, and we're just going to fall away. Probably not the best prayer, but that, I was just being honest there. And it was a simple prayer, and I just left it there, you know, dropped my arms, sat down in the chair, or in the nice wooden pew, listened to the message, and then we went to the park the rest of the day because it was Father's Day. You know, that was our normal tradition. Then we drove back home to Hawk Point. Nancy and I are pulling in with the boys. Boys are asleep in the back seat. We're getting out, and this friend of mine, old friend of mine, Sabrina Ivy, pulled up right behind us. She was just driving from Warrenton to Troy and kind of made that pull off into Hawk Point to see our house because she knew we moved in there, and she just wanted to drive by. She didn't know we were going to be home, but she pulled up, was sitting at the end of the driveway. I walked down to her car, said, hey, what's up? And she's like, hey, nothing much. Happy Father's Day. You never know who I ran into. I said, oh, who? Jesse and Missy Kiros. They started that church, Journey, back there in Troy. And like right then and there, it was like God said, you asked for it, here you go. Okay? And, you know, I talked about this before, you know, Jesse and Missy, like I know them from growing up within youth groups. You know, we didn't attend the same church, but our churches did things together. So I kind of knew them. They were the cool ones. You know, I had an older sister who, you know, that was their group of friends. So, of course, I tagged along. You know, Jesse was always cool, and I just, you know, wanted to be like him. And I grew up and get to know him pretty good. And, well, I'll leave it at that. But it was just, it was just crazy because, like I said, it was like God spoke to me right then and said, you asked for something, here it is. Here's this church. You want to be a part of something? Here you go. This is it. So the next Sunday, we went and checked it out. First person we saw was Missy, sat there in that service. We were like, okay, this is it. This is where we can go, and it's closer to home. Thank God. And, you know, and then that was the beginning of our involvement there. And because it was weird for us to be a part of a church, be a part of a community, and feel unused. We met on a mission field. You know, we were volunteers. We paid Youth of the Mission to be a part of their outreach, you know, of their, you know, we were volunteers. We were paying them to be volunteers. And so that was just who we are. That's the passion, the desire we have is to be involved. You know, so when we got married and, you know, we came back to the Midwest, like that same passion didn't go away just because we weren't on this mission field. Like, we're home. Like, we want to be involved. We want to be part of something. And when we started losing that, we started kind of getting frustrated and dried up. And there's something that just wasn't right. Because serving and volunteering matters. And that's what we're going to talk about today. You know, now before I get into, you know, my 3 points, 3 headings, let's just kind of disperse the idea that this is going to be a volunteer drive. You know, our leaders are not going to be lined up in the front here at the end with clipboards, getting ready, you know, wanting you to sign up. You're not going to have to make a decision, all right? I'm just going to share some thoughts for the next few minutes, and then you guys get to make your own decisions. Is that cool? However, for those of you that are, you know, again, might be kind of like, oh my gosh, I'm tired of hearing about volunteering, and you just want us to work and this and that, and, you know, that's fine and all, but of those of us in this auditorium right now, 99%, maybe 100% of us do not fit the national average profile of somebody that is involved in their church and active in their church. Okay, I was looking up stats and numbers for, you know, why we don't get involved, who's getting involved, how many people do, how much of the work. You know, you hear the numbers, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And so I was looking up for the stuff of that. And instead of boring you with that, I'm just going to give you their final tally of the profile of the person who's most active in the American church. Okay, you ready? The most active person in the church across the country is a married African-American woman in the early 50s. Scanning, don't see. Is there anybody that I might mention that? No? Okay, so we can all stand to hear this, right? Yeah? Because that doesn't describe any of you. Okay, then, moving on. So as we saw in Acts there, even in the early church, the leadership was just getting overwhelmed with all these things to do. They were, I mean, the church was exploding. All these people were coming in and just, you know, coming in as one, and they were bickering about who was getting the most food, that type of thing. And so you had the 12 that were, I mean, that was their job to disperse the word and build up the faith and the community and do the preaching. And so, like, we just don't, I'm sure they had the hearts for it, but they're like, we need to start dispersing some of the responsibility. They needed help, and they asked for it. They kind of gave that away. You know, they were trying to spin those plates. You know, Jesse's talked about before, and we've played the video up there. You see those, I don't know if they're magicians or these guys on these talent competitions where they got the poles and the plates on them. They're spinning them, and they're running over here, and next thing you know, they got like 20 of them going, and they're running back and forth just to keep them going. You know, the 12 were just overwhelmed with the amount of plates to be spinning. And so they kind of they gave that stuff away, you know, because this community of faith needs many hands to make this happen. Like I said a minute ago, Jesse and Missy can be gone, and that's fine, because this is about everybody, right? And we all make this go. So it's important for us to volunteer and to be involved. So here's a few thoughts, if I may, on why it matters that you volunteer. Why it matters to you. Isaiah 40:31 says, "But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind." Now, preceding that verse in that section, it specifically talks about God himself and like how he doesn't run out of breath, okay? He doesn't lose endurance, okay? He has everything that we don't, you know? But for us, we have to wait. We have to serve. We have to give our time. We have to be active. We have to move to gain physical, emotional, spiritual strength. You know, we just did, and I know, like, I think Jesse mentioned it or whatever, but we did this hike to Half Dome in Yosemite Valley about a week and a half ago, myself and a couple others. And it was a 21-mile round-trip hike. It took about 5.5 hours just to get up an elevation from 0 to 5,000 feet. And our endurance is lacking, if you will, physically. Mine especially, because I am not in shape, and neither is your pastor, okay? So, you know, we did it as a team. It seemed like every 10 minutes we had to stop and catch our breath or stop and sit down and stop and kind of talk ourselves into continuing. That's because we were not prepared. It would have been a lot better if we would have actually prepared for it, actually got up. You know, my sister gave me this app at the beginning of May because I told her, you know, we're going to go do this, but now I'm totally out of shape. And it's this app called Couch to 5K. Maybe you've done it for the Dream Run. You might want to start it now, okay? But we did a Couch to Half Dome. Okay, and this is no easy trail, no easy hike. And we just did it, and we were worse for the wear at the end of the day, waking up with weak knees and just kind of sore everything for the next few days. It's because we did not prepare. And we might have enjoyed it a little bit better had we been in shape. Just like in life, you know, spiritually, if we're not moving, if we're not being active in our faith, you know, everything from, you know, spending our own time praying, however that is for you, or getting in the word, and also serving, you know, waiting on God, serving. That's where we get the word for you know, our waiters and waitresses, you know, they're serving us. We call them our servers. You know, we're serving God, and that's how we get strength. And also, a second point to that, volunteering is a great way to connect. You know, I hear a lot of people say, you know, and this comes up all the time, that I just don't feel connected. You know, I'll be talking with people, I just don't feel like I'm getting to know anybody around here. I just don't know how to meet people. And that's fine. And I usually ask them three questions. The first one is, well, are you going to a fusion group? Have you ever been to a hotspot? Have you ever gotten outside of Sunday? Oh, no, you know, I got the schedule and with the kids and sports and we have, that's fine. I mean, that's cool. We all have reasons and that's no big deal. No judgment. Second question, have you ever been to a saver, if you're a woman, or a crew event, if you're a man? Oh, well, no, that's just aren't, you know, I mean, those activities aren't really my thing. And again, I don't have time. Again, understandable, you know, no judgment. But you're here on a Sunday. So my third question is, so where are you serving? You know, how are you connecting? So we have this department, whatever, this team, this army of people that make this happen. We call that our connections team. Everything from the parking posse to the communion to the ushers and everything in between. Because while we all have different situations and schedules during the week, you know, we're all here on Sunday. So, you know, and this isn't for you that's been around for a week, 2 weeks, a month. But, you know, after about 2 or 3 months, you've kind of decided this is your church home. Well, you need to start getting into that community of faith. Like Sandy was saying, we like to hang out together. We like to get to know each other. And, you know, we need to, the Bible tells us we need to be a part of a community, all right? That's how we're gonna grow. And so I encourage you guys to become a part of our connections team. And, you know, it's a great way to meet your fellow journey people. And the stuff is not hard. I mean, you know, if a real good way to, like, get to know people and see faces is become a greeter. You know, it's like, how hard is this? Hey, good morning, welcome to Journey. There you go. Hey, good morning, welcome to Journey. Hey, good morning, welcome to Journey. Hey, welcome to Journey. My name's Jake.
Sean,
nice to meet you, Sean. Hey, I'll see you later. Good to see you. And bam, you are forced to get to know people. Not forced, but you get the chance to give your name to them. You're getting everybody's name. You're seeing every face, and you do that once a month. And bam, you start to feel more comfortable. Next thing you know, after service, you're connecting and you're hanging out and you're going out to lunch and you're going to sit next to each other at the softball game and bam, friends, right? Well, maybe, you know, handing out bulletins and talking to people is not your thing, but you still want to be around. You still want to be a part. And you know what one of these things is, okay? This, you all know this, okay? I'll demonstrate in case you don't know how to use it. I mean, studies have shown that vacuuming is one of the most relaxing and calming things you can do ever. And I do know how to use this, except I put it in a knot. You know, and it's, I mean, whether it's during the week or before service on a Sunday or after service or whatever, you know, we have teams, armies that do this stuff. And I mean, it's as simple as this. Oh, okay, can you hold that plug in there? And nobody will know that you're doing it, okay? Yeah, so, you know, you're just, hey, can you guys stand up for a second, please? I mean, I'm trying to, thank you. All right, so, and then, you know, while you're doing this, thank you, Mel. You know, while you're doing this, you know, you're just kind of, you're getting to talk, and, you know, then you're, you know, we're straightening up chairs. Oh, sorry, Denise, I just want to make this place for you, this atmosphere, to where you can enjoy God's presence. There you go. Have a seat. Hey, thanks for being here at Journey. I mean, and it's just stuff like that, you know, become part of a cleaning team, run a vacuum, because if you don't know how to run a vacuum, you're probably not welcoming the rest of us into your house, are you? I'm not going to invite you over to my house if I haven't cleaned in forever. But we have these guys back here, and this sound booth, and, you know, it's not hard to run this stuff. I mean, you got Ron back here with this slide, and he's just kind of doing this, and just, you know, this is not hard. You know, this is not hard. We'll have this set up for you. Just, they're having a good time. And the light show. Well, we say show. You know, it's just pushing a button. Like, this is an instrument back here. You know, you don't have to learn how to put these things together or anything. You're just, I messed it up. Where's the message white? There we go. You know, and be part of the team. I mean, they're having a good time back here. You know, that you're part of the message. You're part of worship. Like I said, this is an instrument. You're more than just pushing buttons. You know, you're going along, you're worshiping, you're dancing, and you're getting on the beat, you're being a part of this. Or, you know, right here with Renee, just running these slides, you know, like it's no big deal. It's just a button. You know how to use a computer. And all this stuff kind of goes to our third point is, second point. Gosh, dang it. Why'd you let me back here? Our second point is why it matters to others that you volunteer. And like, you know, with the vacuuming, the cleaning, and running the sound, and hey, come here, dude. Hey, come here. Let's take those just in case. These little guys. What's up, brother? How you doing? Remember when we had dinner yesterday, we talked about this, and you're going to be perfect? Yeah? You're doing good so far. Just think of it from a parent's perspective. So what's up? This is Cohen. Yeah. You know, we provide these places downstairs for these little guys to hang out. And it's not, you know, it is to pour into them and to give them a place to learn about Jesus and show them the love of Jesus. But it's also to allow parents to relax. If you're a parent, you understand the, yeah, relax. You understand the importance of needing some time to relax and reflect on yourself and, you know, and maybe your spouse, but also just be in God's presence, you know. And if you're not a parent, you know the importance of a parent having some place to put them so you can relax in some peace and quiet and hear God's word and be a part of that. And, you know, this is not hard. This is ministry, you know, right? Say amen. Will you amen me? No. This is ministry because we're not babysitters. We're not janitors. You know, we're a team, and this is ministry. You know, just holding the guy. You don't need a special skill to hand out bulletins, to take the offering, to direct traffic. You just need a heart to be part of this community, be part of this family, be part of this team, because we're creating this atmosphere for others to come in, hear the word of God, and respond. You know, and as a church, as a family, we're all responsible for that. You know, and no job is greater than another, in my opinion. Because when we give ourselves away, we're giving others a chance to receive, right? I'll go back to Mom. Here, you can walk now. Let's see what happens. Nope? Okay. I'll take you the rest of the way. I'm going to keep your snacks, though. Thank you. So when we are allowing, when we give ourselves away, we're letting others and giving them an atmosphere for a chance to receive. Oh, my. Ah. Those are terrible. Like, literally. That was a bad choice. How we doing? Perfect. Number three, it matters to God. You know, God wants us to love and believe in him, no doubt. We know this. However, Jesus, during his time on the earth, gave us countless examples of serving other people. Can you hear that? I'm sorry. It's like sticking to my tooth. So this past week in Journey Youth, we talked about the story of the Good Samaritan. And you know that story, this guy was traveling along from Jerusalem, this Jew, and he got beat up and left for dead. Two people passed him by, and the Samaritan came by, dropped everything he had to serve this guy that was just lying dead in a ditch. You know, and like if you study and you read, you know that the Samaritans and the Jews didn't like each other. They were enemies. You know, a lot of old, bad blood. And so it was significant that this guy dropped everything to take this guy, bandage him up, put him on his donkey, take him to the inn, hotel, whatever, and make sure he was cared for. And that was serving, all right? The guy volunteered to drop everything he was doing, take time out of his own life to help this person make sure he's okay and set up and ready and good to go to grow and to live. You know, and that's just a great example of serving others, because that was actually, like, that fictional story that Jesus gave this lawyer in the temple when Jesus was preaching. The guy's like, how do I get eternal life? And so they have their banter back and forth, and Jesus tells this story. Like, if you want to serve me, serve people like this guy did. You know, give up your time. Get involved for other people. He said, if you want to serve me, serve each other. So it'd also be a failure on my part if I didn't say how, you know, the greatest example of somebody volunteering themselves was when Jesus went to the cross. So if that's you in here, that you've been kind of struggling with doubt and belief and, you know, just you're just down, you don't know where to look, look to Jesus, because he served you by dying on the cross, going to the grave, and raising 3 days later. Because he loves us, because he wants to serve us. And we benefit from that ultimate volunteer, right? Our service to each other matters to God because he first served us. Tim, I'm going to close. Or Mary, whoever. So church involvement, just kind of close this way. Again, we're not going to ask you guys to sign up for nothing. We just want you to make your own choice. We want you to be involved here at Journey. But church involvement, you know, primarily the task of the leadership to inspire and to encourage you guys to act, to get involved, depends on how clear the vision of the church is, you know, because you deserve to know where we're going, what we're doing, why we do this. Of course, we're doing this to love on Jesus and to give him all the praise and honor, but also to repair families and repair lives. And the goal, like 1A of Journey, is the Dream Center, right? Like the practical, like the goal for us, why we exist, is to start this Dream Center. And everything we do, all the focus, all the planning, is about seeing that dream fulfilled. You know, we're in the midst of this, the 2015 dream. You guys have given pledges. You guys are over there working at 366 South Lincoln, putting up walls, doing concrete, all that stuff. And that's to fulfill that dream of that place, again, where people that are struggling with addictions and broken homes and broken lives can go for repair. So everything we do here, even on a Sunday, even when you're handing out bulletins, even when you're directing traffic, I mean, that is creating a place for people to come here, go after God, and join us in this dream to start this place to better the community, right? I mean, that's it. I even told our youth leadership team last week, our planning for the teenagers, our events, the way we use the buildings and the property, you know, all that stuff, we're thinking about the Dream Center. Even the teenagers, even that group, we are directing ourselves to help build that Dream Center, and we want to do it on the part of outreach. You know, and I know, you know, the examples I use, and I'm talking more about in-house volunteering and taking care of our place on Sundays, but the outreach arm of this church is about to explode, okay? And you'll learn about that stuff in the next 2 months at least, and we're going to get outside of these walls, okay? And I'm not, you know, the one to give details on how that's going to go, but it's going to be awesome. And again, it's volunteering, it's being involved, it's giving away ourselves, giving away some of our time to go sow into other people's lives that need Jesus and that need repair. So to build up the Dream Center is to build up this house. And to build up this house, we all need to be involved. We all need to be willing to give ourselves away and volunteer. And just, I pray that you guys have a desire and a passion for that. And that's what I wanted to share with you guys. If you guys want to stand up, you know, we're going to close out this service with communion. Community teams, if you guys want to set up. And, you know, also, if I can get, you know, 3 or 4 of our deacons or care pastors or leaders, a couple guys, a couple ladies, kind of come up here in the front, just to be available for prayer. You know, if you got anything, it obviously doesn't have to be anything that relates to this message, but if you need prayer for anything, bring your family up here. Bring yourself up here. We have these people to stand with you. And we just want to always avail this opportunity for you guys just to receive some prayer. Have somebody stand with you in your life. The ushers are going to dismiss here in a second from back to front. Come up and have communion. And I just want to let you guys know that, you know, we love you guys. We believe in you guys. And just thank you. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this time. God, I just thank you that you've surrounded each and every one of us with a community and just a family.